Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Pallava Girivane Dari Gopi Jana Pallava Girivane Dari Jasodhananjana Dakshachanaranjana Jasodhananjana Vrajachanaranjana Jamuna Chilavanachari Jamuna Chilavanachari Jaya Rama Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jai Rama Madhava Kunjabi Hari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare राम हरे हरे। So I introduce myself to those who don't know me. I'm Sankarshan Das Adhikari, disciple of Prabhupada, and I'm regularly circling the globe 2 times a year lecturing on the science of Krishna consciousness in every continent except for Antarctica. The penguins haven't gotten interested yet, but if they do, we'll go there also. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 25, text number 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Atrate katayishyemum itihasam paratanam paranjanasya charitam nibodha garatau mama. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this connection, I wish to narrate an old history connected with the character of a king called Paranjana. Please try to hear me with great attention. Purport. The great sage Narada Muni turned toward another topic, the history of King Paranjana. This is nothing but the history of King Prichinabharashat, told in a different way. In other words, this is an allegorical presentation. The word Puranjana means one who enjoys in a body. This is clearly explained in the next few chapters. Because a person entangled in material activities wants to hear stories of material activities, Narada Muni turned to the topics of King Paranjana, who is none other than King Prichinabharashat. Narada Muni did not directly deprecate the value of performing sacrifices in which animals are sacrificed. Lord Buddha, however, directly rejected all animal sacrifice. Srila Jiva Goswami has stated, Nindasi Yagavitir Ahaha Shruti Jatam. The word Shruti Jatam indicates that in the Vedas, animal sacrifice is recommended, but Lord Buddha directly denied Vedic authority in order to stop animal sacrifice. Consequently, Lord Buddha is not accepted by the followers of the Vedas. Because he does not accept the authority of the Vedas, Lord Buddha is depicted as an agnostic or atheist. The great sage Narada cannot decry the authority of the Vedas, but he wanted to indicate to King Prichinabharashat that the path of Karmakanda is very difficult and risky. Foolish persons accept the difficult path of Karmakanda for the sake of sense enjoyment, and those who are too much attached to sense enjoyment are called mudhas, rascals. It is very difficult for a mudha to understand the ultimate goal of life. In the propagation of the Krishna consciousness movement, we actually see that many people are not attracted because they are mudhas, engaged in fruitive activity. It is said, upadeshohi murkanam, prakopaya nashantiye. If good instructions are given to a foolish rascal, he simply becomes angry and turns against the instructions instead of taking advantage of them. Because Narada Muni knew this very well, he indirectly instructed the king by giving him the history of his entire life. In order to wear a gold or diamond nose pin or earring, one has to pierce the ear or nose. Such pain endured for the sake of sense gratification is endured on the path of Karmakanda, the path of fruitive activity. If one wishes to enjoy something in the future, He has to endure trouble in the present.
If one wants to become a millionaire in the future and enjoy his riches, he has to work very hard at the present moment in order to accumulate money. This is karma kandiya. Those who are too much attached to such a path undergo the risk anyway. Narada Muni wanted to show King Prachinabharashat how one undergoes great troubles and miseries in order to engage in fruitive activity. A person who is very much attached to material activity is called a Vishayi. A Vishayi is an enjoyer of Vishaya, which means eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Narada Muni is indirectly indicating through the story of King Paranjana that eating, sleeping, mating, and defending are troublesome and risky. The words itihasam, history, and paratanam, old, indicate that although a living entity lives within the material body, the history of the living entity within the material body is very old. In this regard, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung Anadikarma Pale Padi Bavarnava Jale Taribare Nadeki Upaya. Due to my past fruitive activities, I have fallen into the water of material existence, and I cannot find any way to get out of it. Every living entity is suffering in this material existence from past activities. Therefore, everyone has a very old history. Foolish material scientists have manufactured their own theories of evolution, which are simply concerned with the material body, but actually this is not the real evolution. The real evolution is the history of the living entity who is Paranjana, living within the body. Sri Narada Muni will explain this evolutionary theory in a different way for the understanding of sane persons. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatha Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyanjali Satarine. So, this word Paranjana is a very significant word. Living within the body. So what does that indicate? That indicates the living entity is not the body. If you're living in a house, does that mean you are the house? No, you're not the house. So, living within the body does not mean that you are the body. So, the root cause of all of our suffering and anxiety in this world is the false conception that I am this body. It's very significant to note here that everyone has a very old history. We don't remember it. We hardly remember what we have endured in this lifetime. But actually we have a history that goes back for millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions of years. Each one of us. Very, very old history each and every one of us has had, you see. We've gone through millions of bodies and millions of universes and all kinds of situations. Sometimes we were kings, sometimes we were paupers, sometimes we were birds and beasts, fish. So many things we've gone through. Somehow or other, now we are here in this human form. Such a very, very, very rare opportunity we have in this human birth. Therefore, Vedanta Sutra says, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now you've got a human form, use it to understand the Absolute Truth. But the difficulty is, instead of being interested in the Absolute Truth, we are going after sense gratification. You see? Punak punas charvita charvananam. How many times we've gone after sense gratification? Did we ever get satisfied? No. So why are we going after it again? It's so idiotic. It's so stupid. It's just so mudha-ish. You see? To keep going after this damn sense gratification again and again and again. We never learn our lesson. You understand this point? We're thick-headed. Very thick-headed. Numbskulls. So we require the mercy of a great acharya like Srila Prabhupada. We require such a great, powerful acharya like Srila Prabhupada to snap us out of this madness, to snap us out of this illusion, to snap us out of this stupid, foolish addiction to vishaya, eating, sleeping, mending, and mating, and defending. So how do we have to get the mercy of such great acharyas as Prabhupada? How do we get that mercy? This is the most important question that we should find out the answer. How can we get the mercy of the great acharyas? It's the most important thing to understand. How to get their mercy, you see? Krishna gives a hint in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 11. Ye yatamang prapadyante tang stataiva vajamyaham. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So you want the mercy? You want the blessings going to get you out of all of your suffering, going to get you out of this trap that you've been entangled with since time immemorial? Do you want the mercy to get out of it? Or do you want to stay stuck? You see, this is a decision we have to make. Each one of us has to make this decision. To get out, we have to get the mercy of the pure devotees. And that mercy comes to the degree of our surrender. If you want Guru's mercy, then you have to follow the orders of Guru. Very important point. You say, Gurudev, please bless me. Guru Maharaj, please bless me that I can become Krishna conscious. That's all right, but then you have to do something. We have to do something ourselves, you see. We have to rise early, take bath, attend Mangal Arati at home, have Mangal Arati at home. We have to take shelter of the holy names. You see, we have to work at it. Sadhana bhakti means we have to work at it. It's not natural yet, completely, you see. It's not completely natural. We have to push ourselves. Just like Prabhupada gives the example of a little kid. Does he want to go to school that first day? Or does he want to keep playing? Even Prabhupada didn't want to go to school. They had to hire somebody to take him to the school to make sure he got to the school. Because he didn't want to go. So we don't want to go to school in the beginning, but by force we go to school, by force we learn to read A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. We're forced to memorize these things, you see.
refers to read. Okay, now students, you're going to learn how to read. But after a while, the kid, you find him reading books, relishing it, you see. In the beginning, he had to be forced, but now he's checking out books from the library. He's reading, you see, reading books with enthusiasm, you see. So, sadhana bhakti is like that. In the beginning, we had to be pushed. Okay, get up. Wake up. Give up your illicit sex. Give up your intoxication. Give up your meat eating. Give up your gambling. Chant Hare Krishna, you see. We had to be pushed. But if you surrender to the push, okay, well, I know you mean well. I know this is the doctor's orders. This is what I have to do. I have to take this bitter medicine if I'm going to get healthy. Okay, I'll do it. Because I know I'm sick, and I know I need to do this to get well. Even though I don't have any taste or hardly any taste, I'm going to do it because this will actually elevate me, will liberate me to the platform of Ruchi, Nama Ruchi, where I can relish the sweetest bliss and go on chanting 24 hours a day and never get tired of it. You see? So, okay, I'll take the medicine. You see? That medicine acts, you see. This medicine, Harinam, is the most potent medicine to deliver one from all illusion, confusion. Nowadays, the psychiatrists talk about OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. They say many people are suffering from OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. Somebody wrote me the other day, they said, I'm suffering from OCD, how can I become Krishna conscious? I said, actually, everyone's suffering from OCD. Everybody's obsessed with a false conception that I'm this body, and they act in a compulsive pattern of behavior called sense gratification. So everybody's suffering from OCD. Even the psychiatrists are suffering from OCD. Is it? So, don't feel alone if you're suffering from OCD. We all have it. We're obsessed, yeah, I'm a guy, I'm a girl, I'm this, I'm that, you see. We're obsessed with this crazy, insane idea that I'm this body. It's an obsession. And we think, oh, I gotta satisfy this thing, you see. But the real thing to remember is, as I stated earlier, Paranjana, living within the body. Not living as the body, living within the body. The difficulty is we're in the midst of a culture in which everyone is absolutely 100% completely convinced, I am this body. And we have a tendency to be influenced by our association. As confirmed by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 2, text 62. Sangat sanjayate kama. One's consciousness is developed according to his association. So because we're thrown in the midst of this materialistic society, that is an energy pulling on us, you see. It's a psychic energy pulling on us into the bodily conception. It's like you're in the river and the flow of the river is pulling you down into the cycle of birth and death. So we have to swim. You can't just go with the flow of sense enjoyment. You've got to swim. You've got to put out some energy and swim the other way. You've got to go upstream, not downstream. You see? To elevate your consciousness, you have to apply some energy. But by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, it doesn't take that much energy. I mean, how difficult it is to pop a glove jam in your mouth. Is it difficult? Well, you got to lift the arm up. It's a little bit heavy. Pick it up. Pop it in. Got to chew it. It's not that difficult. So actually, by the grace of the Lord, it's not that difficult to become Krishna conscious. In fact,
as confirmed by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 2. Shushukam, this is simply a joyful process. Sukam, joyful. Susukam, very, very, very joyful process. So actually, by the grace of the Lord, it's not difficult. Chant Hare Krishna, take prasad, dance in ecstasy, relish the wonderful association of Krishna, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's teachings, Krishna's deity, Krishna's dham. I mean, actually, Krishna is so beautiful. He really is, you know. He's so beautiful. He's so amazingly beautiful that who could, once you actually appreciate the beauty of Krishna, what of this material world could ever attract you again? As confirmed by Bibhamangala Thakur, Madhuram, Madhuram, Vaparasya Vibhor, Madhuram, Madhuram, Varanam Madhuram, Madhugandhi, Madhusmitam, Etad Aho, Madhuram, 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 Madhuram. The transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet. And his face is sweeter still, but his soft, honey-scented smile is the ultimate sweetness thrill. So all you have to do really is focus on Krishna. Put your mind on Krishna, the form of Krishna, the name of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna. Just bring your little rascal mind. We have to just bring our rascal minds, our naughty monkey minds, and say, okay, I don't want to go on this mano marg any longer. The path of the mind, which has dragged me through millions of life forms in this cycle of birth and death. I want to follow Acharya Marg now, not this Mana Marg. You see, the path of the mind. So you just take your mind and say, okay, time to fix on Krishna now. Mind, time for you to grow up and be Krishna conscious, my dear mind. Fix your mind on the name, the form. Take some service. Do it. Learn how to do a first-class job in your service for Krishna. Not for name and fame, for Krishna's satisfaction. You see. In this way, if we can train ourselves, taking advantage of the wonderful instructions of Srila Prabhupada, then our lives will be successful. If we study carefully the nectar of devotion, which is a summary study of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are so many poignant, potent, powerful instructions how to become liberated from material existence. They are given in order of importance by Rupa Goswami, as quoted by Srila Prabhupada. So now we will look at the first 10 of these items, which are the very most important items for one who wants to awaken his or her dormant Krishna consciousness. The first point is this: accept the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. That's the first thing one has to do. The second step is, one should accept initiation from that spiritual master and learn from him how to practice Krishna consciousness. That's number two. Number three, you should obey the orders of the spiritual master, not begrudgingly, but you should obey his orders with love and devotion. Thank you, Guru Maharaj, for this wonderful order. Not that, oh, Guru Maharaj, why are you giving me that order? No. With love and devotion, obey the orders given to you by your spiritual master. That's the third item. And the fourth item is, you must follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. See, we have a whole disciplic succession. So when you surrender to a spiritual master, he's not interested to take your service for himself. He wants to offer your service to the previous acharyas. You see, a bona fide spiritual master is not on some kind of an ego trip. He's just a humble servant. If he's truly a bona fide spiritual master, he's a humble servant. Therefore, the fourth item is, you follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas under the direction of your spiritual master. That's the fourth item. And the fifth item is that you should inquire from your spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. That's the fifth item. And the sixth item is that you should be prepared to give up anything material for the service of the Lord. And then Prabhupada elaborates on the further meaning of this statement. You should be prepared to accept anything for Krishna's service that you may not like to accept, and you should also be prepared to give up anything for Krishna's service that you may not want to give up. See, that's the sixth item. The seventh item is to reside in a holy place such as Dwarka or Sri Vrindavan Dham. What if you can't live here? What if you have a job in Delhi and you can't live here, or you have a job in Sydney? You see, what are you going to do? Well, you have to. The ISKCON temples are all expansions of Vrindavan, and you should make your own home also an ashrama. You should make your home an expansion of Vrindavan, so living by your own home and going to your own local ISKCON temple, you can be living in Vrindavan. Because you have to live in Vrindavan. You have to. That's one of the seven, or Mayapur, same thing. You have to live in a tirtha. So you have to visit your local ISKCON tirtha and make your home a tirtha. If you want to actually become Krishna conscious, you have to do this, Rupa Goswami says. Okay, then the eighth item accept only what is necessary. That means deal with the material world only inasmuch as is necessary for your Krishna's, your service to Krishna. In other words, don't try to enjoy the material world. You can engage in the material world inasmuch as you require for your service. But don't do it for enjoyment. You see? It's like you may have to get a job, earn some money. So you don't get into it more than is necessary. Your heart is always in advancing in Krishna consciousness. That's where your heart always is. Other things are accepted only insofar as is necessary. That's the eighth item. The ninth item is to observe Ekadashi. And the tenth item is to worship sacred trees like the banyan tree or the tulsi tree. Banyan tree. We don't have banyan worship in ISKCON. But I actually asked Prabhupada about how do you worship the banyan tree. I was curious. Through another devotee, I asked Prabhupada. He was writing Prabhupada a letter. How to worship the banyan tree. Prabhupada said with incense, water, and flour, you can worship the banyan tree. Of course, we don't have a banyan tree here. But when I asked Prabhupada that question, we actually had a banyan tree in the temple yard. But still, Prabhupada didn't actually institute that. I was just curious, and Prabhupada very kindly satisfied my curiosity to know how do you worship a banyan tree. But Prabhupada did not institute that for us. It's a little impractical. Okay, time for banyan worship. You can't bring a banyan tree in a pot to the temple room. A little impractical. But tulsi worship is very first-class thing, you see. By worshiping tulsi, tulsi worship is so important thing. So these 10 items, there are more items, but those are the 10 most important items because they're mentioned first by Rupa Goswami. So we will take up these items given by Srila Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami, you see, very seriously. What will be the result? The result will be we will get higher taste. We will actually begin to relish the sweet nectar of Krishna's name, the sweet nectar of Krishna's form, the sweet nectar of Krishna's pastimes, the sweet nectar of Krishna's devotees, sadhu sangha, you see. All of these things will gradually come. But we have to be patient. Because how dirty are we after millions of lifetimes of trying to enjoy this material world? We are filthy, rotten, dirty to the core. That's the reality. I see. So one has to be very patient and dedicated, like scrubbing a pot that hasn't been scrubbed. The bottom of the pot has gotten black and has been, no one's scrubbed it for the last 10 years. So how long will it take to get that pot shiny on the bottom? Take one heck of a long time. to get that pot shining on the bottom. Well, our hearts, Prabhus and Matajis, our hearts are much dirtier than that pot that's sitting in the kitchen for 10 years without ever being scrubbed on the bottom. You see? Our hearts are millions and billions of times more dirty than that pot. So roll up your sleeves, get out your scrubby and start scrubbing your heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And gradually, 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 even though it's often poison in the beginning, it will become sweeter and sweeter and sweeter, sweeter than the sweetest honey, eventually, just going Krishna. Devotee can feel that he's swimming in an ocean of unlimited ecstasy just by saying Krishna. You see? So, perhaps some of you have some questions. If so, I'll be happy to try to answer them based on what I've learned from my most wonderful spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. Radha Krishna, you come here and be my human hearing aid. All right, his hand was first. I got two more on deck. All right. The question is, due to our rebellious attitude, we fell down from the spiritual sky. When we fell down, to which species did we fall? And you may be surprised to hear, as according to Srila Prabhupada's purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we fell down to a species called Lord Brahma. Prabhupada explains our first birth in this world was as Lord Brahma. So Prabhuji, previously you were Lord Brahma. But now you've come down, you see, to this level. But actually being a devotee is even greater than being a Brahmaji. When one can become a Vaishnava, that's even greater than a Brahmaji. Huh? According to Prabhupada's statement, he said, every single living entity, when they fall down from the spiritual world, every jiva takes his first birth as Lord Brahma. It's stated right there in the purport of Prabhupada's Bhagavatam. You're not reading the books? You should read all of these books. It's right there. You don't remember? It's right there in the Bhagavatam purport. Anyone who's reading these books, they will know this fact. You're not reading the books enough, Prabhuji. You must read more. Huh?
How is it possible?
How is it possible? Why not? If you can be a dog, you can be a Brahma. Brahma is another type of another position in the material world. And why is it not possible? You were first Lord Brahma, but now you could have gone back immediately to Godhead from that position. Our present Brahma is a pure devotee, you see. But you were not a pure devotee Brahma. You were a rascal Brahma. You came down, well, I don't like being Brahma. I'll try being Indra. Maybe that'll be cool. Didn't like being Indra. You tried this and that. And finally, Prabhu, you ended up as Indra Gopa. You see. So in this way, we're going through all these species of life again and again and again. But by the mercy of a great pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, you see, then we can get out of this karma chakra. Okay, who was next in the queue? I saw his hand before yours, but you're number three. Okay, you. Oh, good, he's writing it down. And you were in Pune. In Pune, they write him down and give me a basket of questions. Okay. I don't develop taste in chanting the holy name. I try to finish my round before 10 o'clock in the morning, which is mechanical. Maybe it is okay? Or is chanting attentively any time in the day or late in the evening, which is better? The sweetest way is to get all your runs done before Mangalarti. Why 10 o'clock? Get up early and chant them. That early morning before sunrise, whenever there's no distractions, there's nothing And that's what I do. I rise early and chant my round before Mangal Arati. It's so sweet. It's unbelievable. So you can always take a nap later on and make up for the lost sleep. That's one thing. We have to do the actual duty of, not that, well, I'm just going to be spontaneous. I'll just chant whatever I feel like, whatever comes out naturally. I don't want to do it mechanically. No, that's not the right understanding. Mechanical or not mechanical, do it. You see. Make your mouth go, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. But at the same time, beat your mind. Come on, mind, now, get into it. Do this in the mood of begging Krishna. Hare Krishna. Here's a little tip that I just found recently in the Veda base. There's unbelievable things available in the Veda base. One day, while looking through the Veda base, I found the most amazing pearl of wisdom. Prabhupada wrote to one of my god sisters how to chant japa. He told her this. He said, when you chant japa, feel the presence of Krishna. I went, wow, that's got to be really something. And he said, if you can't do that, fix your mind on the sound of Krishna's name. So you're dealing with a person. Are you forgetting that Krishna is personally coming? You must be forgetting. Krishna is personally coming to you and blessing you with his association. And you're thinking mechanically. If Krishna actually came and you could see him, do you think, well, I think I'll mechanically talk with Krishna. Mechanically associate with him. No, you'd be in ecstasy. Krishna has come. Oh, Krishna, Krishna has come. You offer your obeisances. How can I serve you, my dear Lord? You just be in ecstasy, isn't it? So he's coming. He's coming as Nama. You're forgetting that, Prabhu. You see. You have to realize Krishna is coming. That personally he is coming to me. You see. And associate with him with love. And that way, if you chant, there'll be no question of mechanical. Mechanical will not be a word in your vocabulary anymore. It will disappear from your dictionary. Chanting should be any time of the day. Also, 16 rounds is good to get done as early as possible. But then there's another letter I just found. Prabhupada wrote to two non-ISKCON members from Japan. They wrote, Prabhupada, we really like chanting Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada encouraged them to chant constantly, Hare Krishna. He said, chant while you're riding the bus, chant while you're taking your bath, chant while you're doing something with your hands. He was encouraging them to always chant 24 hours a day. When you go to take rest, chant Hare Krishna. When you're laying down to go to sleep, you see, you can, okay, time to take rest. You can just lay there and go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Just keep chanting until you fall asleep. I mean, we can chant 24 hours a day. You know, 16 rounds is just the beginning. It's just getting warmed up. You see, our chanting should be going on nonstop, as much as possible. When you're washing the dishes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. When you're walking to the temple, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You see, in this way, everything, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We should fall in love with Krishna's name, but we can't bear to not be chanting even for a minute. You see, that's called the Asakti stage. We have to keep working and training ourselves, because now we have these monkey rascal minds that think it's mechanical. We have to keep training ourselves, disciplining ourselves, and then gradually, that spontaneous attraction for the name will arise within our hearts. We got a long way to go, it's a fact. But every day, make that endeavor, and Krishna will bless you, Prabhupada will bless you, your spiritual master will bless you like anything, like torrents of rain in the monsoon season. Does that answer your question? Okay. Next question. You're next in the queue.
Thank you very much, Babaji, for such a wonderful class. If you allow me, the two questions that were asked, I can just make a couple of brief comments and then ask my question. The first question was about chanting. one of the in conversation Prabhupada says, if you don't finish your jap before 10 o'clock, whole day you know anxiety. So it's better to finish in the morning, otherwise even though we're more relaxed, but you'll be in anxiety. So that's one. And I'm from Los Angeles, New York, and Srila Prabhupada personally told Subhas Prabhu, who's the temple president and the BBD trustee, that he was asking how to become empowered. And Prabhupada said, if you want to be empowered...
Since he's going to have to repeat everything to me, because I'm not hearing a word, why don't we break it up?
And
you can tell me...
So Prabhupada told Subhas Prabhu in that one darshan in Atlanta, if you want to become empowered, you start chanting and do not stop till you finish your 16 rounds. If you can control your mind for 2 hours like that, then only you can control the mind for the rest of the day. So that's a very important instruction. Subhas Prabhu in Los Angeles, every morning, he gets up at 2:30 and finishes the jap like you were saying before Mangala Arati.
I see. That's an interesting quote. I've never heard that before, but that's what I do every day. So, and it is very powerful.
The nectar book distribution.
It is very powerful. I get up and chant in one go for Mangala Arati every day.
Thank you.
And it's really, really powerful. There's no doubt. Okay, any other questions?
Prabhuji's question about why we become a Brahma, answer is given in Bhagavad Gita, Shuchinam Shrimatam Gihe Yog Vrashtave Jayate. So even if you're materially fallen, Krishna gives us birth in heavenly planets. If you're fallen from the spiritual world, Prabhupada explained, it's not very illogical that Krishna would give the birth of a Brahma, which is the highest in the material world. Shuchinam Shrimatam Gihe Yog Vrashtave Jayate. So Prabhuji's question is answered by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. No, if you fall... Right, so we have... What in the spiritual world, Prabhupada explains.
Okay, very good. Any questions? You have a question? So when we're feeling a pressure, okay, you got to do this, and this is your time limit, we're going, oh wow, this is too heavy. How do you do it with love and devotion? Right? Just think of what Prabhupada did. The sacrifice that he made. The pressure that he was under. Just to guide this movement. He was under such pressure, it was unbelievable. It's just like, you're on the stove, and there's about, 100 different preps at one time. They have to all come out nicely. Prabhupada, just like when the whole trouble was happening in the Juhu temple, Mr. Nair was trying to steal the property, and it was heavy, heavy anxiety. Prabhupada had to go on with his normal traveling and preaching. At the same time, he's wondering what's going on in Mumbai, all the messages, the communications going back. So if you just think about what Prabhupada had to do, the intense pressure and anxiety he had to deal with, but yet he kept himself very equipoised at the same time. So sometimes actually I give a seminar to the corporate world. I give a seminar called Stressless Success. So sometimes we are under a lot of stress in our service, that's a fact. But you have to elevate your consciousness. Just like you don't have hurricanes here in India, but in the US we have hurricanes. These huge storms coming off the ocean. But in the huge, powerful winds that can just completely knock a building over in one puff of the wind. But inside that hurricane, it's completely calm. So you may find that this is like a hurricane, this intense service I have to do, it's very intense. You have to center yourself in Krishna consciousness and not let yourself become bewildered by the stress of the service. You have to center yourself. I must accept this burden as the burden of love. Prabhupada gives an example of a millionaire. Actually, it's a lot of anxiety to have $1 billion. If you were a billionaire, Prabhu, you'd have so many anxieties. The government's trying to take it away by taxes. You have vendors you're dealing with, they're trying to rip you off right and left. Being a billionaire is a lot of anxiety. But if I ask a billionaire, well, I can relieve you of your anxiety, give me your $1 billion. Will he want to do it? No. No, I'll keep the $1 billion. I can handle the anxiety. You see?
So you have to be like that billionaire. You have to understand, I have been given this service which is more valuable than all the wealth possessed by Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods. You have to see it through the eyes of Scripture, not the eyes of your own mental concoctions. See that service through the eyes of the Scripture as a burden of love. A burden? That's all right. Tell the mother, she's burdened so much by her child. He screams in the middle of the night, she has to wake up, she has to change the diapers, one thing after another. She's a slave to that little kid for years, nonstop. Oh, my dear mother, we will relieve you, then we'll take your kid. We're going to kidnap your child and relieve you of this anxiety. Will she agree? No. Don't you dare take my child away. I love my child. You see? So in the same way, you have to. If your service may be very intense, it may be burdensome, but if you actually see things properly through the eyes of Scripture, you will feel it a burden of love. So that's the key. Shastra Chaksus, you have to see it through the eyes of Scripture. Because actually, just like Prabhupada told me, I wasn't directly serving under him as one of his entourage. I was acting under temple presidents, you see. But Prabhupada personally told me, do whatever the temple president says without question. So then I knew, okay, my temple president, he's the representative of Prabhupada, and by serving him, I'm actually showing my love for Srila Prabhupada. By serving my temple authority, I'm showing Prabhupada that I love him. You understand? You have to see the temple authority as a representative of the spiritual master. And it's like now I'm a spiritual master, I have disciples all over the world. So I train them, your local temple authority, he is my representative. So you serve your local authority, and that way you please me, you see. So in this way we have to understand how this process works, you see. And if we follow it in this way, we'll relish the sweet nectar every day in our service, in our chanting, in our reading. Does that answer your question? Okay, one more question back here. Is mechanical chanting better than not chanting at all? Yes, the greatest nama-parad is not to chant. So don't worry that you're a nama-paradi number one, that I'm kidding. So many nama-parads, better I should stop chanting, because not chanting is the ultimate nama-parad. So keep chanting mechanically and pray for the day as Bhakti Vinod is praying in his song, Kabe Habe Bolo Se Dinama. When, oh, when will that day be mine? Aparada Gucci, Shudaname Ruchi, Kripa Bole Habe Hridoye Sanchar. When my offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine? Kabe habe bolo se dinamar. When, oh, when will that day be mine? So while you're chanting mechanically, you can remember that song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and pray for that day when that chanting will no longer be mechanical. It will simply be Nam Ruchi. Any other questions? Questions? All right, comment? Question, okay. All right. Susukam, yes. How is it that even though it's Susukam, how is it after 30 or 40 years of chanting, the mind is still distracted? That's an excellent question from Boom. The answer is, 30 or 40 years of chanting is nothing compared to how long we've been entrapped in sense gratification. It seems like a long time, but as we read today, Puratanam, the living entity is very, very, very old. So 30 or 40 years is like the last 5 seconds. You understand? We have to see beyond the limitations of this one lifetime. In one life, it seems like 30 years, 30, 40 years. I've been chanting for like 41 years now. It seems like a big chunk. almost my whole life. You say, well, why am I not a pure devotee yet? Why I can't see Krishna face to face? Yeah, I may wonder, but actually, you know, 30 or 40 years is nothing compared to how long we've been entrapped in this cycle of birth and death. It's nothing. That's the answer. Yes? How to come out of the bodily concept and understand that with the soul, can you cite some instances from Srimad Bhagavatam? Narad Muni. He was completely enwrapped in the bodily concept. You know what is... What was his name previously? He used to be a pop singer in the heavenly planets. Huh? Upabharana? Yeah. Narada Muni was very much in the bodily concept. He was a pop singer in the heavenly planets. And when he came in, they were doing it, the demigods were doing a Sankirtan festival, glorifying the Supreme Lord. He came there to join the festival to sing demigod songs with a huge entourage of what we call nowadays groupies. Women. He was surrounded by all these women. It's like the Beatles were surrounded by women. It's described that he was surrounded by all these women. All these lusty women were coming along with him, you see, so they could relish his singing of mundane songs. So the demigods didn't think this was very appropriate, that a Sankirtan festival, he would come with his mundane music with all these lusty women. So they cursed him to become a Sudra. So that curse was actually a great blessing, because that Sudra woman was living, very simple, humble woman, a mother. You know, he was living in Maiwan forest, and during the Chaturmasya, the sages, they took some time out from traveling and preaching to stay in one place. So he got the opportunity to get the Mahaprasad of the Bhaktivedantas, these great sages. So simply by serving them, by hearing them, and by taking the remnants of their prasad, that Upabharana, pop singer, became the liberated Narada Muni. So if we find that we have some problems like Upabharana did, then all we have to do is see how he became liberated by taking advantage of the association of the Bhaktivedantas, taking the prasad, the remnants of the prasad, hearing from them and serving from them. So that's what we have to do. We Upabharanas have to follow that example of Sri Narada Muni, and then we can become liberated spacemen. We can do interplanetary sankirtan without even a spaceship. That's a possibility. We can become liberated spacemen. Travel and preach all over the universe. Interplanetary Sankirtan Ki Jai. Can you imagine preaching all over the universe? The spiritual master says, okay, you go liberate that planet out there in the Milky Way. You see? So just always remember Narada Muni. He went from Upabharana to becoming the liberated spaceman. Okay, we're going to stop here. We thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.